Hello and welcome to Business Beat, KBIA's weekly look at business and economic issues affecting Mid-Missouri. I'm Ryan Femuliner. Coming up later in the show, Marshall Griffin will have a quick update on the rise in Missouri state revenue last month and what that might mean for state funding levels. But first, for cattle breeders, buying a new bull or cow can be a risk. Its offspring is what will bring home the profit. Jared Decker, a PhD student in genetics at the University of Missouri, thinks he's found a way to manage some of that risk through the study of cow genetics. KBIA's Sarah Radel has more.
Jared Decker stands in front of his poster on the fourth floor of the Life Sciences Building at the University of Missouri. It's a little after noon, and he's explaining his research to a handful of people who've gathered around. There are pictures of cattle on his poster, some short and stocky, others tall, sleek, and sturdy. Decker's also tall and sturdy, but gentle, with small-town manners. He grew up on a small farm in New Mexico, and really, you can trace his research back to a childhood memory.
Goldie. She had a gold coat, and she had quite a bit of white on her head and on her neck and on her belly and all that.
You drill down into the cutie.
Yeah, but it might be interesting.
When he was young, he spent 9 years learning to raise a grand champion cow, that golden white cow, Goldie. She's a Hereford cow, an uncommon breed for a champion.
I grew up on a relatively small farm, and kind of from my competitive nature, always wanted to win at the fair.
Decker says building a genetic champion like Goldie isn't easy because there's no exact way to tell how effectively two animals will breed. You might get a cow like Goldie, or you might get something else.
What genomic selection provides, compared to traditional selection techniques, is it just provides a more accurate estimate earlier in the life of the animal.
Here's why it's complicated. There are two ways to breed cattle, by genetic material from a breeder to do it artificially, or to let cows take care of it themselves out in the field. Even with the careful science of artificial insemination, there's no hard guarantee what you'll get when a calf is born. But Decker has spent hours in his lab at MU Animal Research Center with his 56,000 samples, discovering the genetics behind what makes a better cow.
Okay, so this is the bovine.
Decker shows me around his lab. To my right are freezers full of tissue and DNA samples, and in front of me is a workbench with microscopes, petri dishes, and other instruments to prepare the DNA samples for analysis.
Minus 80 degrees Celsius. And so in these,
think about it like this. What if you could know before having kids exactly how much that child would eat, the likelihood of illness, and the total cost to raise that child? That's what Decker's research is doing, only for cows. It would mean higher quality beef for consumers and lower production costs for farmers. U.S. consumers love beef. Year after year, they want more of it, but at a higher quality. Decker's research has been assisted by his mentor, Professor Jerry Taylor. Taylor says Decker's research has perfect timing. For the last 3 years, Americans have eaten an average of more than 26 billion pounds of beef each year.
And the demand for higher quality beef in the United States has been through the roof. In fact, to the point that we can't supply enough high-quality beef to be able to actually meet that demand.
So how does it actually work? Usually on a farm, when a calf is born, it could take years before the farmer knows the genetic value of that cow. With Decker's help, they'll know immediately after birth. Not everyone thinks this is actually going to work.
Yes, I can remember buying a bull. It was all hyped up, and I believe he brought $115,000, actually, and yes, that bull did not do well.
Ben Eggers is the farm manager for Missouri's largest Angus cattle breeder, Seidenstricker Farms in Mexico, Missouri. Multiple times every day, he gets into his truck and drives through the pastures to check on the cattle. He makes a living breeding cows with desirable traits. Eggers says 50 years ago, farmers chose a cow based on what they could see with their own eyes. Now, it's about data.
Back when I started in the Angus business, all of the value of cattle was determined by how they did in the show ring, actually, what their merit was as we looked at them with our eyes.
Eggers' method seems like a science all on its own. He collects data on measurable traits like milk production and birth weight on each and every cow for years before he has an accurate measure of a cow's breeding value.
In general, with most sires, it's going to take, I think, around 1,000 head of actual calves to end up with an 80 accuracy, which is what's perceived as being a well-proven bull. The bull's probably going to be 5 to 7 years old by the time that's done.
MU student Jared Decker's method is just a blood or tissue sample that would tell Akers what he could expect from each cow, but in a lot less time. A couple weeks compared to 5 or more years. But Akers Ranch has more than 900 cattle. For smaller farms that produce only 10 to 50 cows each year, it's impossible to get accurate data with such a small sample size. That means at the auction barn, farmers still use methods from the 1960s, and that's risky guesswork because now cows cost an average of about $1,700. Decker's research is there to make those buying decisions easier, but some farmers like Eggers don't think they have much to gain from it yet.
You know, I know that's worked over the years. I'm watching the genomic markers, but I'm not going to bet the farm on a young bull that, you know, just because he's high on the genomic markers.
And she's raising a good calf, but they're not fat and slick.
For now, Eggers will continue to use genomic tests, but rarely. The next phase of Decker's research will try to pinpoint how effectively a cow will gain weight based on what it eats. And if farmers like Eggers use that research to produce better cattle, U.S. consumers would see more high-quality beef on supermarket shelves. Sarah Radel, KBIA News.
This story was reported for the University of Missouri's Sci Exchange Program, which aims to help scientists and journalists better communicate with each other. Missouri's revenues rose more than expected during the month of May. Marshall Griffin has the details.
The state collected $6.6 billion in revenue last month, compared to just under $6.4 billion in May of last year. Governor Jay Nixon's budget director, Linda Lubring, credits most of the improvement to higher collections of state income and sales taxes.
I think we do have to be cautious still because of what's going on at the national and particularly the international picture with the European Union issues that could have some bearing on the overall economy.
Despite the uptick in state revenues, Lubring says there are no plans to release additional money Governor Nixon has been withholding from the current year's state budget, which ends June 30th. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
That's this week's Business Beat. I'm Ryan Femuehlener. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can listen to the podcast for this show and all our shows at kbia.org.